privileges I have as pastor shepherd in this house is to wrestle with whether to just keep moving with what you guys are doing. You're anointed, you're empowered every week. Or whether to pause and bring what I feel like God has placed on my heart. I never take that lightly. My ego is always in check. I'm never about trying to take control or authority away from what God is doing. I love him, and at the same time, I feel like there are times when I need to deliver what God has placed on my heart. Sometimes it's heavy, sometimes it's light, sometimes it's easy and encouraging and humorous even, and sometimes it's what we need to hear to transform our lives and make a difference in where we are right now. Amen? I want to try to do that today. We're supposed to take in members, but I'm going to forgo that. I feel like I need to go to the Word of God. We'll either do that at the end of service, do that next week, or the week after. We'll make sure it happens. But go with me this morning in the Word to the book of Luke chapter 1. I want to talk to you about what it is that you carry. What God has placed in your spiritual womb to carry, to deliver, to nourish, to strengthen, to make sure, Josh, that it is delivered in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and not in the fullness of man's idealism, tradition, or prognostication. But what God has for you, what God has for Summiton. Not the will of man to be condoned by man, but the will of God for the season of God, in this moment of God, that God might be revealed in us. Concealed in order to carry. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail Mary, thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. You're the favored of the Lord, and thou hast found favor with God. Go to the next. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of Israel and his father David and all that. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How can this be? For I'm a virgin. I know not a man. How can this happen? How can I deliver? We leave the birth of Jesus and we go to John chapter 5, verse 5. And God will show us a parallel. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity. Say it with me, 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie there and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Will you? Will you be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, with every answer except what Jesus really needed. He said, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, somebody always gets it before I do. Not what Jesus asked him. Somebody else gets it before I do. I hope this morning that maybe that you get it before somebody else does. That's my hope. Because God's good. He has an answer. He has a healing to your hurting, an answer to every question, and he can fill every void in your life before you walk out of here today. God, add your anointing to your word. Quickly challenge us. And God, not only challenge us, because the challenge is not worth anything if we're not changed. And God, I declare that after X amount of years today, I'm still being changed and broken and empowered by the word of God that holds all authority and has all power. It is the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask you, God, to give us divine guidance. Amen. So be it, and amen. Would you just hug someone with a big bear hug? Make them as uncomfortable as you can this morning, and just love them with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. In what was at one time a concealed conversation, Keith Merrill, an Academy Award director, poignantly asked this question, or made this statement. If you pay close attention, very rarely will you find a good mother portrayed in the movies. Screenwriters are cognizant of the fact that if the central character is catapulted into conflict, there is little or no maternal influence in their life. If a person is going to struggle, if a person is a dealer, if a person is a murderer, if a person is catapulted into conflict, there has usually, typically, not been a strong motherly influence in their lives. Wilma Rudolph, that great Olympic runner, was from Clarksville, Tennessee, where I spent 10 years of my life and graduated. She was diagnosed with polio, and she testified this. She said, "The doctor told me I would never walk again. She said, my mother told me I would, and I chose to believe my mother." Pablo Picasso's mother admonished him. She said, "If you become a soldier, you will be a general." She said, "If you become a monk, you will be the pope." He said, "Instead, I became a painter, and now the whole world knows my name." Because the Lord God chose Mary as the vessel that the Christ child came through to Jesus, his mother was a gift. And every now and then, many of you have asked the question, why in the world did God send me through him? Why in the world did God send me through her? For many, the mother influence ranks second only to God. Your mother, in many cases, will either serve as your prophet or she will serve as your pessimist. The influence of your mother was started in what we call fetal programming. What a mother eats or digests while pregnant contributes to the potentiality of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and a plethora of other illnesses. Listen to me. In our culture today, we see the highest number of individuals enrolled in special education than we have ever seen in our lives. The same can also be related to you as an individual or to the church as a whole. When we are pregnant, what we eat, what we digest, even with ministry, contributes to the potentiality of heart disease and anxiety and worry and shortcomings and spiritual diabetes and so many other things. When you are pregnant with ministry, what you eat or what someone tries to feed you will go a long, long way in how you answer God's call on your life. When you feed people, while, hear me, you can say, "I'm tired of hearing this, I'm tired of hearing that." You're being negative, Pastor. No, no, no. What you feed people when they are young, when they are a young mother, a young individual in the Lord, what you feed them goes a long, long way in how they develop the potential and the call of God upon their lives. And not only will they stand before God for what they deliver, but you may stand before God for what they don't deliver. Because some people try to force you into delivering what they've been delivering for 38 long years. It is important that we understand that we are now responsible for the diet of others in the family of God, how we either feed them with faith or we indulge them in fear and negativity. You had better pay close attention to what gospel you are really eating. If your Savior does not come through a virgin called Mary and he is not anointed by the power of the Holy Ghost, that gospel is polluted and damaged and it will end in death. You can't let anybody just in ignorance keep speaking over your life. You can let them keep talking, but the hand's not listening. You got to put up some blockage. You got to put up some spiritual walls. Somebody asked me this week, they said, Pastor, do you have fortitude? I thought, I hope that I do have fortitude. I hope that I can stand when the enemy roars the loudest. I hope that I can stand when the enemy shouts with all of his might. I hope that I can stand when I know it's God and when I know it's not God. I don't let people speak into my life that continually speak contradiction to the holy word of God and have no semblance of spiritual maturity. When people don't understand why I am zealous for God, why I make sure my story is straight, why I try to understand all the parameters, seen and unseen, it is because they now, nor perhaps have never understood that I am now not eating for one, but I am eating for two because God gave me something to carry. Amen. Amen. I have something to birth. There's something in my life to deliver, something for me to give. What I've been called to deliver, no one else was called to deliver. That's why somebody else called to deliver something else can't really tell me or explain to me how to birth and deliver what God has called me to deliver. Real influence for now and real influence for the future. I have an impact to make on others. I now eat for me, and I eat for what I carry. Some tried to damage my baby 10 years ago. Some tried to damage my call 5 years ago, and they are still a threat today if I choose to listen to their voice. But the gift in me is great enough to shift the landscape of society so that even generations will be raised up and say, he was the blessed of the Lord. Fetal programming, what we let others feed into us. There's something in me that I have confidence to change the data. You do realize I'm not just talking about myself. I'm speaking for you. I'm speaking into you. I'm declaring today what God has called you to do in this life. You have power to change statistics and break down stereotypical walls that Satan has tried to build. It is not only your contribution. It is a Jesus contribution that says he will come and he will save them from their sins. We also must be careful about what it is we have concentrated upon delivering, what it is that defines what it is we've been called to be forth, to bring forth, that we have stopped in mid-track, stopped in mid-carry, stopped in mid-call. And God said, I've called you to deliver a word, a message. That will save them from their sins. That will change the landscape and the dynamic of who and what we were and bring into fruition what it is we shall be. There's something about my name and something in me that the enemy does not want me to birth. And he has been trying to make me and you miscarry in the process. I found Miss Sarah. That there have been times in my life when the odds were stacked against me. Anyone in the house ever felt that way? You feel like, man, it's me against the world. And I don't feel like I'm winning right now. I don't feel like I'm getting ahead. But in spite of all the odds against us, we have a covenant from a... We have a covenant word from a God who loves us and cares, and he has made a vow to us that he will protect us and he will carry us and he will move us to greater places in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I start declaring, Justin, that I am no longer my own, but I belong to him. And every gift that God has spoken over my life, not only will I carry it, but I felt quickened to pray for you. Stand right there where you are. Not only have I been called to carry it, but I've been called to deliver it. I've been called as a vessel, a tool. Speaking to some folks in this house today, you've delivered or half delivered about anything and everything, but what God called you to deliver, what he called you to say, what he called you to speak, what he called you to be. And all you can talk about is what he said 40 years ago. But God said, I need someone in 2023 that knows, that can read the map and read this world and deliver what I need them to deliver now. I believe that every dream will materialize. Every idea will take off. Every anointing will go through the roof. Every assignment that God has birthed in my life can be fulfilled. If you believe that with all of your heart about you, would you lift your hand right now and would you declare it, God, I will deliver everything, anything that you have called me. I'm speaking to some people today. There's some things about to come out of some folks. The world's not ready for it. The world's not prepared for it. But it is no less God. It is no less his authority. It is no less his word. It is no less his anointing. Just because the world doesn't want to receive it. But we of the household of faith are here to encourage and help enable and to bless as God delivers through his word and through his promise. Turn to your neighbor. Turn to someone this morning and tell them it just might be my time for help. Might be my time for help. Turn to your other neighbor and tell them this might be the time when you need help. You need help. Listen to me, Summerton. Sometimes a mother or father's influence can be so positive and so strong that we rely on them so very much that they are constantly teaching and speaking good into us and power into us and positivity into us that we start believing we can do it just because Mary told us. Or just because Dad told us. And we reach a place of such self-confidence and self-belief that we no longer feel like we have to ask him for it as long as everyone else says it's okay. I can, I came to encourage someone this morning. You don't have to do this all by yourself. You're not in this alone. He is with you. You can get so worn down and tired and weary and worn out that it would be good if somebody else just acted like they wanted to help you. John says this, that Jesus in John chapter 5, he walks into this pool called Bethesda. I've been blessed to be there, been there, stood around the ruins of Bethesda. And the word says that the withered are there, the blind are there, the lame are there, the halt are there. That everyone on the scene is afflicted somehow. Everyone is sick. Nobody, no one is healthy. And Jesus walks up. Have we forgotten that? I think if you really think about it, sometimes we look around the room and we think, nobody's healthy in this room but me. Nobody's got it together, but I know. But the star of this story outside of Jesus is a nameless man. He has been sick, lame for 38 years. I want you to understand that nowhere does the scripture tell you in any translation that he has been alive for 38 years. The word says he has been lame. He has been in this condition for 38 years. Some people I have found, Brother Jim, have a condition. They speak their condition. They talk their condition. They live their condition as though Jesus has never walked up. And just in case you forgot, Jesus died when he was how old? Most scholars believe he was 33 years old. And so it is. He is no more than 31 when he walks up to this pool and he encounters this man who has been lame for 38 years. And so it is. The man has been paralyzed for 38 years and Jesus is 31. And the Bible says that Jesus knew him. Right. Never been to Bethesda? Only 31 years old? He's been there 38 years. And Jesus knows him. Jesus has never been to the pool. Man is 38. Jesus is 31. That means that while, listen to me this morning, while Jesus was still in heaven, Jesus saw this man, felt compassion for his need, and knew that he would need his touch and his assistance. I want to tell somebody that God can still get you out of some stuff that you were in before you even knew who he was. God knew what you were going through. He knows what you suffered. He knows how you've been hurt. He knows there was no mama. He knows there was no daddy. He knows there was no one there to help you. But he saw you. Yes. Amen. Yes. Your season of help is not dependent on what you did wrong before you knew him. Can you lift your hand and pray, God, you saw me then and you see me now. He knew me then. He knows me now. And he loves me. He knew me then. He knows me now. Yet he loves me. Listen, Jesus ask him this critical question. He's been there for 38 years, and there is no mention of his mother. There's no mention of Mary. There's no mention of her presence. He has been in crisis. He has been in chaos, calamity, confusion. His mama, you know what she would have done? She would have pushed him into the water and said, get over yourself. Get in there and get what's yours. You're better than this. Have you forgotten who you are? I'm talking to some people, you've been through the toughest seasons of your life. And you know that it would have been better if you had had a mom or a dad to push you through it. There's some people in this room, you need to fix the difference between you and those who were close to you, because it just may be that they could have helped you and you don't even know it. They were working on your side the whole time and you were too busy hating somebody else. They're praying, they're trying to carry you and you don't even know you need to be carried. That's what Marys do. I need a Joseph every now and then, a mother, a Mary. And sometimes people see things you don't even see. And maybe they are trying to look out for you and you don't even know. Maybe they're trying to help your spiritual formation. Maybe they're trying to help you in your development. Maybe they're trying to help you while you're still in the womb. I'm in the womb. I can do this all by myself. You ain't even took your first breath yet. I can do this. No, sometimes we're developing and we need somebody to help us develop. We need to have a spiritual ear that can hear a spiritual voice that will help us develop for the long run. Mom can't talk him through it. Friends can't talk him through it. He's just sitting there and Jesus says, "Do you want to be well?" Because you can run around and try to do all this stuff for the kingdom and not be well. And people who are not well, rather instead of loving them and caring for them and caressing them and helping help carry them the right way, we just stand back and point a finger because we've been in this church our whole life. And Jesus says, "Do you want to get well?" "Well, Pastor, I've been well. Listen, I stand before you transparent this morning. I tell you that I'm not always well. And sometimes I carry a load. And sometimes I let it work on me more than I should. And sometimes my weakness is greater than my faith." That may not be you. You may not experience those things. But there are times when I need somebody to help carry me rather than someone adding a weight on my shoulders. Right. 38 years I keep singing the same song. 38 years I keep blaming everybody else. And you know what the truth of the matter is? You're tired of saying it. I just heard myself say that. I'm tired of saying it. And listen, if you're tired of saying it, you can believe people are tired of hearing it. Can you be straightforward and be humbled at the same time? Can you speak the truth of God? God help us. I believe this with all of my heart, that the water is being stirred. That God's stirring generations. That God's stirring to join young and old together alike. That he's stirring the waters to join nations and his people back to prayer and into a relationship with him that produces the incredible power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our churches, and in our families. Jesus said, "I'm ready to give you the biggest breakthrough of your life." And all we can talk about is who's not there. You don't even need to tip your toe in the water. I'm here and I'll change 38 years if you'll let me. I'll change 38 years with the power of my Father's word. And all you can talk about is who didn't put you in the water. I believe God's saying to someone in this house today, "I'm ready to raise up the biggest miracle in your life, the greatest breakthrough in your life. I'm trying to work right in front of you. I'm trying to tell you right in front of you that you have my favor and you don't have to worry about the water, because I am the water that springs up in the everlasting life." Yeah. I am. God said everything, Caleb, that everyone else said was impossible, God said, "I'm about to do it right in front of your face and give you favor." Man, I'm If Jesus understands anything, he understands fetal programming. He understands when we are being developed, and he understands when we are ready to be birthed. You see, Jesus, there's a big difference in the two men at this pool. Jesus ate some things that his mother fed him. We don't see the man's mother even mentioned, but we know that Jesus consumed some things that his mother fed him in Luke 1. And Jesus has been in the womb of Mary. And that angel Gabriel says to Mary, what some people right here at Summerton need to hear. He said, Mary, fear not. Why? He said, the Lord is with you. Nicole, the Lord is with you. Darnell, the Lord is with you. I love you, man. We don't talk a lot. He's not ever said, Pastor, let me take you to lunch. That didn't come out exactly like I meant it. But you can do that. But my son has encountered him in the work environment. And he said, Pastor, that man is a worker. Said, man, that guy goes like crazy. Said, he is a worker. Said, I love his attitude. I love his spirit. He's not speaking into me, but he's lifting my weight. Why? Because he's speaking into the life of my son. Amen. I get so many of you, I don't call by name every Sunday. I could talk about what an influence you've been on my life, how you've helped me while I'm still developing. When we get to that point where we feel like we don't have to develop anymore, that's where we are a mess and we have messed up. And the angel says, the Lord is with you. Would you look at a neighbor right now, and I mean with real authority, would you tell someone close to you, would you tell them right now, the Lord is with you. Be encouraged, the Lord is with you. No, if you've not known it before today, know it now. The Lord is with you. Your litany of excuses as to why you don't excel are today, they are over. The reasons why you don't achieve, why you can't accomplish this, I tell you today, the word of God, if God be for us, who can be against us? As a man of God, I've got to know what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, and I've got to stand by it. They thought Mary was a reject at 14 or 15 years of age. She was already being labeled as a harlot, a loose woman. But oh God, Mary knew what she was carrying. Mary knew what she had in her womb. I just want to encourage somebody. It doesn't matter to anyone else on the face of this earth what they try to label or try to say about what you are carrying. You know what God has spoken into your heart and in your life. And if it's God and it's scriptural, it's based on his word. You carry it until you deliver it, until you deliver it. And don't worry about what anybody else says. Pastor, my income didn't change. My car didn't change. My house didn't change. How do I know that he's with me? Because the evidence that he's with you is now what's inside of you. Mary was this and Mary was that. Mary's confused. But you didn't even stop and ask Mary what she had to carry. Mary, did you know? She said, how can these things be? I've not even been with a man. That's how the man in John 5 felt. How can I be healed? I don't have anyone here to help me. Nobody's listening. Nobody cares. Nobody's supporting me. I want to say something to you. Kelly and I mentioned many of you, if not everyone in this house, by name at some point or time. And we never fail to talk about the good things about you. and what you bring to the table and what you offer to this church. That doesn't mean I don't have a negative, and some of you could probably give me a list, that left-right list thing, all the positives, one, he's married to Kelly, all the negatives. You know? In spite of what they call me, I have, Pastor Sergeant, I have to remember, Miss Judy, I have to remember what God spoke over me. Hey, what he has ordained me to carry. Will you stand with me all over this house? I have so much more this morning. You know what I believe? Philip, I believe that sometimes God says, you're in a place right now. Mark Brasher, you're in a place right now where you need to know that if there's no one else with you, and if no one else can help you carry this, you still got me. And sometimes there are seasons and places in our lives as individuals and as a church collectively where we need to know it's not what you say and it's not what I say. It's about God delivering in this moment, in this time, in this season, what he says. Birth the baby, can the water. Tell someone, neighbor, I know it's been a rough season. You've had to deal with some loneliness, some rejection, some isolation. But tell somebody, this is your last trimester. All you got to do is get through this one. You got to get ready to push. This is everything that I've called you to do, it's about to come out of you. Oh, can I get anybody to lift their hands today as a testimony? God, I'm not going to talk about all the stuff. I'm going to talk about what you're about to deliver. I'm not going to talk about the first two trimesters. I'm talking about the last trimester. I'm going to focus on what you're about to deliver in my life. One of the toughest moments for a man, well, for me anyway, is to watch my wife push and deliver those two babies, to deliver Dylan and Sarah. Because I've never had to do that, oh, glory to God, thank you. One thing I've noticed that when Kelly was birthing Dylan and Sarah, when she got ready to deliver, she didn't look at me and say, do you remember what we left the thermostat on? She didn't look at me and say, hey, you know what? What you wore today was not proper for birth delivery day. When you're really ready to push something out for God, you don't waste your time talking about silly things that don't really matter in the moment. When you get ready to deliver something that God gave you and God spoke into your life, you start pushing with all of your might. And you make up your mind, you declare the glory of the Lord, you declare the favor of God, you declare who he is and the holiness of God and the power of God, and that God will save sinners of whom I am chief, and God will bring people to an altar of repentance, and they will be discipled, and I'll do everything I can in my power to make sure that baby is delivered. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth. Bring forth a son. heads bowed, eyes are closed. God, if there should be one in the house in the moment, maybe they need to just know Jesus as Lord and Savior, come back home to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Maybe today there are some folks that need to refocus their push. And this is the message in the day that you have called them to deliver. I pray that you would work and even speak now in the hearts and lives, that you would humble and make whole and say, God, help me to be focused on the real deal, the real thing. I won't wait long this morning, but if you need to touch God and you need to touch from God, this altar is open to you right here and right now. You've been called to carry. Will you deliver? You've been called to carry something incredible for the kingdom. You've been called to carry something that means more than just the superficial things of this life. It's up to you.